Come on, give it up for our team today. Come on, Faith Church, you can do better than that. All of our campuses, I'm so blown away by the music at this church. Raise your hand if you're impressed by that. How many like me? And in the shower, you kind of sound like that alone in the car. Again, thank you so much. Today is a special day because we're starting our new series called 23. Obviously, we didn't call it Psalms 23 necessarily because it is 23. In fact, how many of y'all have watched the commercials that say, hey, do you want to know who your relatives are? Contact 23andMe. Raise your hand if you heard that. Just because there's 23 chromosomes in you and from daddy and 23 from your mama. Put those together, even though I'm a homeschooler, that's 46, y'all. But 23, we really believe, is going to be a year of favor and breakthrough and good for you. And a couple of things I want to tell you about is, number one, we have this incredible little card, because over the next few weeks, I want you to memorize the 23rd Psalm. We're going to read it congregationally in a moment together, especially here in St. Louis, Florida. You don't know about this, but 70% of our church in St. Louis is Catholic and Lutheran. And so that's why sometimes I go, it's going to be a good day today, right? And then the fast. Tomorrow starts a fast, which, by the way, I want us to give a hand to my son. Tomorrow's his birthday, 1990 there in Florida. Pastor Austin, give it up for him and everybody. You got a great one there. So, you know, unfortunately, it's his birthday and he's not going to eat for the next 23 days. But you don't have to participate in a full fast. It's not that at all. But the Bible said that some things come out not by prayer and fasting. When you fast, one, it's good for you. I live a fasted life. I have an app on my phone called the Fasting App. And so I fast 17 hours a day, and then I have an eating window. And that's the way I control my weight and stay healthy, because over the years, I just got fat by a snack accident. Amen? And so I just wanted to know what was in the refrigerator. I don't know. I like the light or something, and I just like to chew. Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. So I do that. But during this 23 days, I have some other things that I'm doing. Some people do the Daniel fast, where they say, I'm just going to eat, you know, look at the book of Daniel, or just Google it, and you can find out what he did, just eating fruits and vegetables. And he looked better than all the other people who were on the regular food. Fasting's a healer. Naturally, it's a great thing to do. But then it recalibrates you for 23. It allows God to speak to you. And so that's so hopefully that card you got here in Florida today. And it goes through the things we're praying for. Tomorrow on Facebook, I'll be there live at 7 a.m. We're going to pray every day, Monday through Thursday at 7 a.m. as a family. And so it's just going to be great. So let's get started by reading. We're going to check out your reading abilities on the big screen together. We're all going to read it together out loud. Let's go, everybody. What? The Lord is my shepherd. Give yourself a hand. Look at your neighbor and say, you read really well. My gosh, unbelievable. You know, we're going to talk today, we're going to start it by talking, of course, about the first part. The Lord is my shepherd. We'll start there. But shepherding, let's talk about that just for a minute. Shepherding, the Bible talks about shepherds a lot. And when we look at shepherds, it means that oftentimes they refer to pastors as shepherds. And actually, I know my friend is a German pastor, so he's mean. He's a German shepherd. Come on, somebody. But I want to kind of unpack a little bit of that today, but the Bible also talks about, and we study, that we're sheep. Everybody shout, I'm a sheep. The Bible said that we're sheep of his pasture. The issue is, though, Jesus refers to us as sheep, and if you study sheep are stupid, right? They just do stupid stuff. In fact, there's a little video I saw on TikTok I want to show you, and this kind of exemplifies a lot of our life right here. Check out what this sheep does. Have you ever done that, jumped right out of one relationship into another one? Come on, don't point at anybody, raise your hand, right? The Bible talks about sheep, and that just as soon as God pulls you out because you pray that prayer, God, I promise I'll never do it again. How many of y'all have prayed that prayer? You liar. Come on, raise your hand. You prayed that prayer. How many like me and you have done it again, like 3 days later, like, man. So the Bible talks about us being sheep. Our sheep know my voice. A stranger they'll not follow. So just because we can recite the 23rd Psalm doesn't mean we understand it. Understanding brings us expectation. Understanding brings you not only knowledge, but the ability to apply the knowledge. In fact, as you get older, you just got the shirt, been there, done that. So you understand, hey, this is the way I'm going to respond to this. I'm going to predetermine the way I'm going to respond because I just know me. And I need to understand who I am, and the Holy Spirit will speak to me, and he'll lead me and guide me so I don't jump from one relationship to another bad relationship or one deal to another deal. Because let's just face it, our flesh, our spirit is ready and willing, but our flesh is weak. Raise your hand if that makes sense. There's a Netflix series right now called Madoff, Bernie Madoff. How many of y'all heard of that guy, Bernie Madoff? And I was always interested in that because the guy that goes to our church in Florida, he's there this morning, he actually owns Madoff's yacht. First time I ever met this guy, I was on this boat. It's like $100 million boat. And I said, where'd you get this boat? And he said, I got a good deal on it. A guy just lost his pants. His name's Madoff. And so I've always kind of been in their church in Palm Beach kind of studying that. And I watched that series yesterday, Madoff. He made off with a lot of people's money. But they did an interview with Madoff literally in the cell, and he was saying one of the things he played on was people's greed. That deep in the heart of most people, they're greedy. In fact, that's not what I'm preaching about, but I'm just here to tell you today that you have to understand and know yourself. Now, the Bible says that my sheep know my voice. God knows us and still loves us, but as you grow in life, hopefully you'll be able to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you, and you'll be able to also know people that know you. This is where small groups come in. And you also need people that know you. They know you, and then they know you. As in, no, don't do that. I know it. Because I discovered a long time ago, probably about 10 years ago, that I lied to myself. Anybody ever lie to yourself? No, you're lying to me. Let's try it again. You ever lie to yourself? But then as I grew, I realized, oh, I'm lying to myself right now. So I'll look in the mirror and say, David Crichton, you stop lying to yourself. You know you're lying to yourself. And if you do that, this is going to happen and that's going to happen. And you know that's going to happen that way. I'm trying to be as generic because I don't want you to know all my sins. But I'm here to tell you that we need to know God so the Holy Spirit can stop us and he's the one that can know us. It's small stuff. He'll say stuff like, you haven't prayed today. Not in a mean way, like, you haven't prayed today. It's more like, you haven't prayed today. He'll go back and tell you, one day I left our house and me and Nicole we don't fight, but we had an intense time of fellowship. And I left and I was driving down the road and I heard the Holy Spirit speak to me and say, go back and tell my daughter you're sorry. I'm like, oh, okay, it's his daughter, not my wife. This is interesting. And then I was walking in, I heard the Holy Spirit say to me again, I want to pause this message and say, it's not a big voice. Like, what's God's voice sound like? Morgan Freeman? That'd be cool. Does it sound like the guy from Charlie's Angels? Remember that show, you know? No. It's a still small voice, and you just know it, and you're knower. Now, the enemy and the enemy will always try to get you to kind of dilute that, and then you jump like the sheep from one bad decision to another bad decision. You knew what to do, but you just didn't do it. So I went back inside, and as I was walking in the garage to go talk to her, I heard him say again, and don't tell her I told you. I thought, man, that's so smart. I don't want to go in and say, hey, God told me to come in and tell you I'm sorry. Because then it doesn't get me the points. God wanted to bless me. Come on, somebody. And so when I went back and told her, man, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have acted that way. I closed the garage door and left, got down the road, and I just couldn't treat you that way. You're just too good of a woman. Then I was late for work. Bow chicka wow wow, if you know what I'm talking about right now. Some of you don't. But we'll unpack that later. So the Lord is my shepherd. Now, you think I would get further than this, just the Lord. Let's talk about the Lord. Number one, have you ever rented a house and you had a landlord? Somebody lords it over you, a lord. There's a statement that a lot of people make, you know, he's Lord of all or not Lord at all. Yeah. So we allow God to have like little pieces of our life and go, God, you can have this part, but not that part. We all do that. I do it in my own life. Like, I know what to do. There's about 10 things that I know to do right now that would make me better. It would help my performance. It would help the church. It would help. Everything would get better. I could be a better me if I do those 10 things. But I keep making excuses because, after all, well, they don't do it, and they don't do it. But, you know, remember the old statement your parents made? Just because Johnny would rob a bank, you're not going to rob a bank. bad parenting. Let's just go back and see what I'm doing with the class. Anybody ever had a mom and dad that says, as long as you live under my roof, you're eating my food? Come on, somebody. Anybody even went a step further and said, my dad's life verse was the rod of correction is going to drive foolishness from the part of the child. So when you're doing life, the Lord, he is your shepherd, but he has to be your Lord. Now, what happens is a lot of things creep into our lives and we get so busy that we say, okay, I'm just going to watch church online. So you got multiple screens, right? You're watching me right now online, but you're also paying the bills. You're watching me online, but you're feeding the dogs. See, it's a priority where we say, God, if you're Lord, and he said, hey, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. That's Bible. He said, forsake not the assemblies of yourself together. When the evil day approaches, do it all the more. My question to you is right now, how many of y'all think this is the most evil time that you've ever seen in your life? Back when you were a kid, you had to pay for porn and water was free. Anybody ever drank water out of a hose? Raise your hand. Anybody ever played on a playground with no protective services? Raise your hand. Anybody ever rode a bike without a helmet? Raise your hands. Now we got a lot of laws and it didn't affect us hardly at all. Right? But we've got all these things now that have changed. And so now little kids that are 9 and 10 years old are seeing sometimes 2,000 images in a month of pure pornography. Well, the world is evil, so guess what we got to do? We got to say, hang on, the Lord wants me to do the right thing so my kids don't go down that path and jump from that sheep, from one relationship to another relationship, from one trap to one trap. So it's not just a thing that I recite. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He's making me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul, leading me past righteousness by his name. Say, gave the Lord, walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, cover me. Humpty Dumpty had it. No, it's just a ritualistic saying instead of, no, if he is Lord, then that means he dominates my life, and what he speaks to me, I am going to try my best to say, you know what, I'm going to focus on that still small voice that says, hey, honey, I'm sorry. Even with your kids, hey, I'm sorry. Hey, I know you don't want to go to church, but guess what? Even when you're from the playpen, you've got to take your kids to church from the playpen so you don't go visit them in the state pen. They need direction and correction, and they're not going to get it from school. Come on. They're not going to get it from Congress. And there's no offense. There's a congressman sitting right now at the church in Florida. The congressmen go there. Senators go there. Powerful people go there. But I'm here to tell you, if you take God out of a school or out of your government or out of your life, it's going to be wrecked. He is Lord. Somebody ought to give God praise today. Good Lord. I looked it up on Google, you know, Lord, what's it actually mean? I just said, hey, Siri, what's it mean? And here's what it says. It says, someone or something having power, authority, or influence. Power, authority, or influence. Who has the power in your life? It's me. Elvis said, I did it my way. And he died early. So when we do it our way, we get what we want, but sometimes we don't want what we get because the Lord, he's been here for a long time and he knows that doesn't work. Like you and I, we got a hairdryer, and on the little hairdryer, there's a tag that says, do not take the hairdryer in the bathtub. It will not save you time. It will electrocute you and you will die. How many of you have seen that? You're like, I'm just going to cut that tag off. You're still going to die. Right? These are idiot-proof sayings to let you know you cannot take that there. So it surprises me a lot of times when people think that they can take God out as Lord. So the next part is, he's the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. It's a shepherd. I shall not want. The shepherd. You know, when I look at some of the shepherds, you know, first of all, in churches all around the world, I grew up in church. And I mean, I was seeing that little picture of Jesus. He's a little kind of scrawny, weak, looks like he's vegan, you know, it's like, man, he's really no harm to the vegans. I'm a meatitarian myself. And it's this scrawny white guy. Please don't, I feel like you're offended by this, but Jesus doesn't look that way. First of all, he's not white. And secondly, he's not scrawny. And he doesn't wear a sheet, and he doesn't wear sandals. Jesus was Jewish. He's a man of color, but he also was a carpenter. This is the shepherd that we're talking about right now. He was strong. This guy flipped over money changers. This guy said, this is the way we're going to do it. He carried that rugged cross all the way up the hill for us. This isn't like Pee Wee Herman. This is Arnold. Come on, go with me on this deal. So somebody drew a picture of Jesus. We assumed that's what Jesus looked like, and it's not what he looked like at all. People ask me all the time because, you know, I pastor a very diverse church. And they said, is God white or black? I said, you're going to be surprised when you get to heaven. And he says, buenos dias.
God, of course, is he is this infinite being who saw the beauty in each and every person, and he created each and every person the way they're supposed to be created. And so therefore, there is not one, you know, superior race. There is the human race that we're all running, and that's why I love our churches. It's so just so diverse. So the Lord is my shepherd. So shepherds aren't like these guys with the little hook. These shepherds are actually tough guys. When I think about, you know, David. David was a shepherd. Remember that? And they said a bear came. How many of y'all don't see a little bitty guy with like a little shepherd's hook going, oh, bear, please don't hit my sheep. He said that he killed the bear. He killed the lion. And then when Goliath came, we're not talking about a weak shepherd. When Goliath came, this giant of a man that had been taunting and harassing people, you know, David shows up and says, hey, have no fear. David is here. And with five smooth stones, five, by the way, is grace and favor. Five represents the fivefold ministry gift which happened at church. The evangelist, the pastor, the prophet, the teacher, so on. So these five physical gifts, that's the representation of the rocks. He picks up the first rock and he releases his faith. And like a heat-seeking missile, it takes out the enemy, Goliath. True story, he falls face forward so they would never face it again, because that's what true shepherds do. Shepherds tell you the truth. Go to church. Y2K, everybody's scared. Oh my God, we're gonna die. Then you all got scared at anthrax. Then, how many of y'all are still alive after COVID? Raise your hand. You're still here. Okay, that's good. Okay, so you're still alive after COVID. And then the other monkey thing, what was it? The monkeypox. And that didn't kill you. And whatever else they come up with, the funky monkey disease that's going to get you next. When you realize that the Lord is your shepherd, that you shall not want, you realize that I'm healed with long life. He'll satisfy me. Come on, Weldon. Show me his salvation. Because you know who you are. Because you don't have a weak shepherd. You have a strong shepherd. Certain people, Frank Mears, a former two-time heavyweight champion, very close friend. We vacation together and do things together. And Frank's really cool. So sometimes I've actually seen it happen where people come up and think they can whip him, and he doesn't even have to fight you. He's just got a place on your neck where he just puts people to sleep within 2 seconds. Just like, bam, you're just gone. He was a bouncer originally, and so he's just good at people. He actually did it once to his wife in a fight. That would be handy, but anyway. I see God, and I want you to see God as he is. He's a strong shepherd, he's a good shepherd, he's a loving shepherd, but he's also a shepherd that's going to tell you the truth, because the truth sets you free. See, therapists, they're good, counselors are good, but you might not have money for a therapist, you might not have money for a counselor, but the Holy Spirit is on the inside of you, he's the good shepherd, and he's telling you, go to church, because you know good and well, life begins on Sunday. You get information that gives you power on Sunday, you will be a better human on Monday, because the world is in chaos. America's a dumpster fire, and guess what? We're the extinguisher, Faith Church, and we're supposed to go shed God's love and his light to all the people everywhere who are confused about who they are, what they have. Raise your hand if that makes sense to you. Raise your hand if you're confused. I just want to break it down. Raise your hand. So the good shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. He's always leading you. Now, the good part about him leading you is it's a still small voice. So this is why it's good to do the fast. My dad used to tell me, he said, when your flesh is at its strongest, your spirit or your heart will be at its weakest. So we feed it, we lotion it, we do everything for the flesh, and then we bow up on people and we fight. But then when you start fasting, first of all, your body will negotiate. Usually it's like, I want nachos, I want chips, make it fast, it's an emergency, 911, give me potato skins, I need to drive through Krispy Kreme donut. But then if you don't eat for 3 days, it'll negotiate. I would love to have an unsalted cracker and I can smell it from a half a mile away. Anybody familiar with your flesh? It'll just make deals. So we treat it roughly, and we say, no, this is what you're going to do. This is how you're going to behave. And then all of a sudden, you'll start hearing the voice of God very clearly. And I promise you that God's going to tell you to go to church. He's not going to tell you, like, don't go to church. You don't need it. You're too smart for that. Don't read your Bible. I mean, you're educated. You went to Penn State, right? So he's getting ready to go to Penn State. It's great. He's super smart and good looking, but he's at church today as a young student. Come on, getting filled up with the word of God, moving forward. So I'm not against education, but there are some people that are educated idiots. Raise your hand if that makes sense to you. Then I've met some people that like are smart as can be, and they graduated in the fifth grade. One of those people being me. So let's talk about the Good Shepherd again. Some of you are old enough, you'll remember, and the rest of you just Google this. There was a car called the Ford Pinto. Anybody remember that? Then, like, the classy version of a Ford Pinto was a Mercury Bobcat. They looked the same, only one was just a little classy. It's like Walmart or Target. You know what I'm saying? It's just this deal. Walmart, you just wear your pajamas. Target, you need to put on clothes, right? So now my dad is really in a bad position financially. We're living in a trailer about the size of this little stage here. And now we need a car, but he needs to have the good shepherd lead him. So he teaches me as a young man, I couldn't have been but 8, 9, 10 years old. And we went to a car auction, and he has his friend, Vern Parker, who's also a preacher, and they both go to the car auction, and they're looking at these two cars. And my dad said, let me teach you something, son. This Bobcat looks really good, and the paint's really good, and the mag wheels are really good, but something on the inside of me is telling me that that car looks good, but it's not good. This Pinto over here that has Bondo on it, it's multiple colors, and it looks horrible, that's the one. So while his friend was over there going, I wonder what I ought to do, scratching right here, my dad was scratching right here. He was listening for the good shepherd so he wouldn't want and go, man, I messed up, I bought the wrong car. Raise your hand if it's making sense to you right now. So he's listening here, and my dad's teaching me this as a child. He said, watch where he's scratching. He's thinking. He's reasoning. Look what I'm doing. And I saw another guy looking at a car, and he was doing this. I'm like, what is he thinking from, right? Okay, so now we're moving forward, and my dad buys the ugly car. His friend buys the good-looking car, and within a week, the rod went through the engine of the pretty car, and my dad had an ugly car, but we just was able to drive him to AutoZone, right? So again, what I'm saying is that success in life is simply making more right decisions than wrong decisions. So when you make more right decisions, the best way to make a good decision is allow the shepherd so you don't want. Man, I need a car. I made a wrong decision. I want a man. I want a woman. No, you don't want a man. You don't want a woman. You want the right man. So other people are looking for their other half. You don't want a half a man. You want a whole man. You don't want a half a woman. You want a whole woman. I didn't say ho. I said a whole woman. Okay. Joel Osteen, we never say that, and I probably shouldn't as well, but I did. Now, the next verse is, I am the good shepherd. He's a good shepherd. Check this out. He says, I am the good shepherd. Shout that with me. What is he? He's a good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Think about that just real quick. Jesus laid down his whole life for you and I. God's in heaven. Holy Spirit's in heaven. Jesus in heaven, and Adam messes up. Remember the story? Adam and Eve in their garden, they're having a great time. They're butt naked, no kids, no bills. Everything's awesome. They got their mixtape going on. The temperature's perfect. Everything's great. And then the devil comes in. What's the devil do? He comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. He comes to the woman and says, hath God said. Number one, people have always been blaming the woman. I just got a question. Where was the man? I don't know where he was, probably watching football, but I'm here to tell you that he should have been beside her, rebuking the devil and telling her, don't talk to him. And then we might have not been in the mess we are. But now Jesus has to come, and he is theologically what we call the second Adam. He's the second Adam, and he comes back, and he's always been alive, Jesus has, but the way we know Jesus, he put on this human suit. He came out of the womb of a Virgin Mary, and he has this incredible life experience like you and I. He was the shepherd, but he was being led by God, the true shepherd. Therefore, for 33 years, he was able to be tempted in all points as we are with food. Remember that? He was up there. He said, you know, if the command this stone to be made into bread, that's probably one that I'm saying that you need to learn because you're going to have that in the next couple days. He was tempting him in all points, yet without sin. Now, we are not like Jesus, but we have the human part of Jesus, and now the good shepherd is on the inside of us. He came down, laid down his life, so now we don't have to say, I'm under the weather, I'm under the economy, gas is high, interest is high. Let me tell you this, don't put your life on hold waiting for things to get better. Allow God to provide for you in a high inflated market because he can prove to the world that he can do what he said he could do in the midst of famine. I want everybody to clap on that one right now. I'm not putting my life on hold. We're making moves, Faith Church. We're making bold moves because people need Jesus. Now, Luke 15, verse 4, at all the campuses, we sang a song today. It said, all the overwhelming love of God chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. It came from this passage. And that's what I love about our church is we sing songs that are biblically based. So even while we're singing, that's why it's important to go to church on time. That word is getting on the inside of you. Because you know, if you fill your life all the time with negative songs, say you listen to country music all the time, you're going to lose your dog, your wife, your truck. Now, check this out. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost? The one that is lost until he finds it. God is always going to keep looking for you until he finds you. Have you ever said this? You're looking for your car keys. Maybe you're in a fight with your husband or wife, and you're like, I'm not talking to her. And then you realize, I'm screwed. I got to tell her. Have you seen my car keys? Anybody ever done that? You won't admit to that. Okay, so I think it's funny, the statement we all do. We go, we find it. So where was it? Last place I looked. Well, if you find it, I think that would make sense that it would be the last place that you look. Because if you kept looking and you had it, you're one, chicken nugget shy of a Happy Meal, right? So God is the type of God that he's not going to stop looking for you. Now, not that your loss isn't like heaven, you prayed the prayer and you're on your way to heaven, but you're lost because just getting saved and you go to church, like, okay, I go to church every other Sunday. That's nice, but it takes forever to graduate. Plus, it gets dull. What if you said, hey, I want six-pack abs? Raise your hand. If you could get them for free today, you'd take them, six-pack abs, right? Everybody wants to be rich, skinny, tan, and happy. But I also want to not, like, they say don't eat before bed. I think that's right. I eat while I'm in bed. So you and I have to say, all right, I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to me the areas that I'm lost in. When Adam and Eve, back in the garden again, when Adam and Eve were in the garden and God came in, remember this? And he said, where are you? Remember that? He said, where are you? It wasn't that God was like, I really can't find them. Like, we really got to figure out the GPS tracker. They need Life 360, something. Where are they? God, when he asks, where are you, is never for him. It's always for you. He's asking a question, where are you? Why is it that you still keep tripping over the same thing? Not in a judgmental way. It's always in a loving way. How can I help you? Yeah. Because sometimes it's just a little thing. It's like, probably 3 or 4 months ago, I wasn't drinking enough water. Like, if you had to do what I do, I traveled 1,300 miles yesterday, preached last night, did a meet and greet, did a bunch of other meetings. Then I got up this morning, had a meeting here, worked out, did that. Then I'm preaching now in 4 minutes and 13 seconds. I got to go to Earth City and do it. And I do it there for 30 minutes. I'll drive me back here. I'll do it again. Then I'll go to Earth City and do it. Blah, 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 and I got meetings. So I really caffeinate. There's just a mixture of Red Bull and coffee, and the mix has got to be right, okay? But then one day I realized, wow, a few months ago, like, I had weird stuff going on in my heart. I couldn't remember if I drank any water, and I only drank one bottle of water. So I was actually on a little vacation with Frank Mir, the fighter, and I was telling him, man, I got to drink more water. And it was insulting to me, but it made sense. He said, you know what you need to do? You need to go get like a really big cup. They sell these really big cups. I know that. I've got 10 of those big cups. He said, you need one of these big cups, and that's your water cup. And you fill that up. And you want to do that like 7 or 8 times a day. As soon as it's done, you do it again. I'm like, Frank, I know that. He said, okay, then do that. I was like, you should be a preacher because you're very convincing. Oftentimes we know what to do, we just don't do it. Am I making sense right now? So I did. I went back and got a cup. In fact, my daughter-in-law bought me the new Stanley Cup, right? I'm a Stanley Cup winner. The new Stanley Cup, and it's kind of small at the bottom, so it fits in the cup holder, plus it's really big, and I love it. So I was drinking it there. The problem is, I'm drinking it so much, my sermon's got to go, I'll quit on time because I got to pee all the time. I'm saying that I put some things in place that make me stay hydrated. You have to say, wait a minute, God says, hey, I'm lost in this area. Growth Track today, all the campuses, Weldon, Ferguson, Florida. You just walk right out the lobby and say, where's Growth Track? It takes only 15 or 20 minutes, and what it does is you discover your purpose, you find your freedom, and then you make a difference. By that, I mean at some point, you can't just come to church and go, bless me, feed me, help me. At some point, you got to say, hey, this church has been a blessing to me. Raise your hand if it has been a blessing to you. Then you need to say, hey, where can I serve? How can I use my talents? How can I use my giftings to help other people? I did not wake up, by the way, this morning and said, oh, and angels flew in and brought me angel food cake and felt like preaching. I woke up in my house in St. Louis, thought I was in the house in Florida, got up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom and made a right when I should have made a left, and I thought, where am I? I'm not at that house. I live a normal life, but I made some decisions to know, hey, my first service today is at 9:45, and I got to be ready, and I got to say it, spray it, wheel it, deal it, make you feel it to where you can realize that God is for you, the devil's against you, and you got to put some things in place to say, I'm lost in some area of my life, but I'm going to get it together. Does that make sense? The enemy's always trying to distract you. Last verse, I got more, but that's all I have time for. Verse 27, it says, my sheep, that's what we are, hear my voice. Now, there's a lot of voices. Netflix, oh man, it's just there. That gets me every time because they get you. And then it says, the next one starts in 29 seconds. You're like, ah, screw it, I'll watch another one. And then the next one starts at 20. Now it's 2 in the morning. Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about, right? So the system, and then TikTok, my gosh, TikTok's just amazing. When I die, my hand's just going to keep doing this 2 days after I'm dead. It's just awesome. And so there's so many things to give me little sound bites to make me really stupid to where I know a little bit about a lot of stuff, but I really don't know it, just enough to be dangerous. I don't know what I really need to know because we don't read books anymore. We don't hear the voice of God anymore. So we're following everybody on Instagram and we're not following the shepherd who's like, hey, Brainiac, I'm over here and she's going to kill you. He knows what to do. And he's on the inside of you. And here's the kicker. Here's the good part. How many of y'all are pretty sure God speaks to you now that you think about it? You're like, I guess it is God that's telling me. I'm not psychic. There's something in me that a lot of times I do know what to do. I just don't do it. Raise your hand at all campuses, right? So let's just do that. Let's just say at 23, we're going to say, hey, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And nothing against all the things that I said, you know, the Netflix and TikTok and all that. Those are all great things. But if too much of a good thing can mess you up. And here's the question. If you want to write this down or take a screenshot of this, this is good. The question isn't, is God speaking? The question is, are we listening? My wife tells me sometimes, I have selective hearing. I hear what I want to hear. Any men have selective hearing? After years of marriage, you develop hearing loss and you have selective hearing. And then sometimes she'll quiz me. She'll say, are you listening? I'll say, yes. And she says, tell me what I just told you. And I go, well, see, what you kind of said was, and I just wing it, hoping to God. Any guy's going to help me on this deal? And then you just got to go, busted. I lied to you. I'm a liar and I'm deaf. But God is always speaking. But if we don't pause all the other voices, and there's a lot of them, then we don't hear good, and then we don't see good. I want to do this test on you. Anybody ever had the eye exam? Raise your hand on the eye exam. How many of y'all like me and you hate the glaucoma test? I promise you I don't have glaucoma. Okay, so they show you this thing and they say, hey, better, worse, better, worse, better, worse. How many of y'all can't see that really well right now? Right? Even the glasses on? Okay, so now watch this. We put up the next one. It comes into focus. When you go to church, when you listen to the shepherd, everything comes into focus. Because that feeling you hate of being out of control, I got to lose the weight, I want to do good, because you all judge yourself on everybody else. I'm looking at a couple of my friends over here. They coach some of the biggest supermodels in the world. They go here in the fashion industry, and he invited me even to one of their big shows the other day with Heidi Klum and all these different people. I'm like, wow, I definitely can't go there because Nicole would be like, not only can you not hear, you can't see anymore. But in their industry, there's a lot of people walking the aisle, and other people are looking going, I don't look like that, so I must not be normal. A lot of these people, they don't eat. A lot of them are Photoshopped. I'm just saying, to be a better me in 23, stop looking at what other people look like and appreciate it and go, that's great, that's good for you, but I'm working on me right now, and I got to be cool with who I am, and I'm going to get my life in order so I can hear God and I can keep my life in focus. Raise your hand if that makes sense. And so I want you to stand with me, and I want to pray for you. I've got so much. I hate it when I've like only got 10% of my content out to you, but I felt like we made progress. Say amen if you think we made some progress. For this year to be different than last year, you're going to have to do something different. And those things that I told you about, one was go through growth track. Two is our groups are starting in a couple weeks. You get on the app, get in a group. When you get in a group, it changes your life because you got friends in a group. There's all kinds of, there's book groups, there's prayer groups, there's motorcycle groups, there's bowling groups. There's every kind of group in the world at our church. You need to get in a group because you need people to know you and you need the accountability. When I look out here and at all of our campuses meeting and talking to people, I've found the greatest life change happens when people get around people. People are lonely. Father, I pray right now for every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl at our church today, God, that you would do in them what you can do and that they would understand it's their responsibility to do what they can do. And God, if we take one step towards you, you'll take 1,000 towards us. God, I pray for Weldon and Ferguson and Florida and online and every campus, God, that they would hear and hearken to the voice of the Lord today. And God, that a better me in 23, it will be if we will say, God, we're going to focus on you as our shepherd and we're going to hear your voice and we're going to mute the other voices and you're going to come in loud and clear. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen. Give the Lord a hand. And I want you to watch this story in our last couple minutes. Check this out.